Welcome to this guided meditation with Father Mark, your guide for a more intimate and transformative connection with Christ. Please pause, play, and adapt this aid to facilitate your own personal conversation with the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. What a joy to be in your presence once again, Lord. Source of all peace and happiness and joy. Thank you. Thanks for another day of life. Thanks for the gift to find the time to be with you today, to really make the time to live my gift of my life, my time, in the right way by putting what's first first, by giving you the time you deserve, not being absorbed in the immediacy of things and distracted from what's essential. But I thank you for the victory of giving you the time you deserve today. And I activate my faith. I believe you're here as always. Every time I turn my heart to you in prayer, you're here. I thank you for that. I believe that. I hope in you. I'm confident and trustworthy that your truths will come to bear. Your promises will be fulfilled. Everything that you said will happen, will happen. I hope in that with confidence that suffering will produce victory and joy in life, and that fidelity and virtue, sacrifice will not go unnoticed and unrewarded and unfulfilled. I hope in that. I hope in you who make good on every single one of your promises in Scripture. And I love you. I love you because you are worthy of all love. You are so good, so beautiful, so kind, so merciful, so attentive, so tender, so worthy of love and attention. And so I love you. It's only right and just and in good order to express that to you, most lovable of all things. You're the source of all love, all goodness and kindness. So I love you, Lord. I'm grateful for everything, grateful for the blessings, the goodness that you've shared with me, for all the blessings of the past days, for the highs and the lows. Thank you. I turn my attention now with this to this gospel, this parable that you share with your disciples here in Luke 16, 1-8. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What's this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do? Now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. When I'm removed with the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently, for the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light.'" Now, I know this gospel because it's interesting and presents kind of a different way of looking on things. It's a role, a steward of a king or a rich man's property. Maybe it's not something we connect to in our modern times, but so it can create some curiosity or even some distraction trying to understand it. But just for context, or maybe for a contemplation, imagine a wealthy person who's hired someone to help manage his funds or manage his household or manage a family office or in some way work for him and to take care of a certain area of responsibility that a rich man has. Because he's rich, he might have multiple levels of responsibility. He delegates an area to someone he trusts so that he doesn't have to worry about it. And this man was responsible for certain people who served the master and owed him, paid him back. Maybe people who were lent certain things from the master and now needed to pay back, that this man was moving on. And since he kind of managed all the accounts, managed all the relationships, he had to end those agreements with people since a new person would be coming in. And as you know from scripture and from history, these stewards made their money by a surcharge or a little tax on the people that they lent things to. And in this case, the steward, who was really not very honest, maybe has learned his lessons, because one interpretation is that they forego the price they would get off what was being lent and just settle accounts with people, getting the money that would go directly to their boss and foregoing the charge that would come to them. And so by giving people a break or cutting them a good deal, giving them a sale, so to speak, those people would be benevolent and inclined and kind with the steward afterwards when he might need favors or help. So he got back everything the master was owed, and so made good on that relationship, but took a risk in not gaining for themselves what they might be able to get just in this one last chance and squeeze out a little bit of money before they go on welfare, but actually sacrifice immediate gains for future benevolence of people. And so take a risk and trust in people that they'll be kind to them when they need it. And here's a great spiritual truth for me, Lord, that holiness and virtue and following you oftentimes does mean passing up on immediate pleasures, immediate gains, immediate ease, and trust that investing and sacrificing what I might want in the short term, as far as what might be the easier path, and choosing what is right, what is good, what is honest, what is responsible, what is serving, what is kindness toward another, foregoing immediate ease and investing in virtue and trusting in you that by sacrificing myself in some way for the sake of fidelity, you will bless that, that there will be a return on that investment, so to speak. Much of holiness, much of love for you, Jesus, is foregoing the immediate advantages of serving self and loving and waiting for blessing, for fulfillment, for grace, and really trusting in you. Saying, hey, living for another, laying down my life for God, is ultimately the best investment, even if I have to wait. It's the surest way to trust the one who is worthy of trust, to abandon myself to the one who I know will always take care of me better than I can take care of myself. That act of love, that act of trust is shrewdness, is real smarts. It's the best investment. It's the prudent way of living. Jesus praises, or at least the rich man does in Jesus's parable. The rich man praises the prudence of this steward. Jesus, I trust you. I trust that living for you is the best way to live. Living faithful to my religious vocation, living true to the responsibilities of my state in life, living faithful to what's good for my mind and body and spirit is always the best investment, always the best way to love and to live, even if I don't see the return in this life. Patience and virtue and trusting in the Lord to always make good on those who love you is the best investment. So Lord, I activate that virtue of hope, confidence, of trust in you. I reaffirm those decisions of my will to choose you above immediate gain or pleasure today. I thank you for reaffirming in me, reminding me of these spiritual truths that are always right, never should be questioned. And I pray for light, for strength, and prudence today to see where you're asking me to wait on you, to trust in you, and to live for you more specifically. Take some time now to form a resolution for the day. And then I'll close out this prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a guided meditation with Father Mark Haidu of the Legionaries of Christ. If this has helped you, please consider sharing it with a friend, along with the other meditations, homilies, and talks found on the Legionaries of Christ podcast, located on all major platforms, or go to rcnytristate.org for links.